or I read Matthew chapter 24 and 25 in connection with some things. And the disciples ask three questions in verse 3 of Matthew 24. The first question, remember Jesus had told them that in verse 1, they'd left the temple. Verse 1 of 24, they came out and somebody said, "Hey, look at these beautiful buildings." And they were a beautiful sight to behold. But Jesus very quickly responded, said, "There's coming a day when one stone won't be left upon another." Now, if somebody came in and said, "Listen, there's the day coming when this building will be destroyed," you know what my first question would be? When? Amen? Well, number one, I want to get my books out. And number two, I don't want to be here. Just, amen? So, we know that in if that happened around 30 AD, let's just say for easy figure, that question, it wasn't, but in 70 AD, 40 years later, it happened. But they asked three questions to Jesus. The first one was, when's this going to happen? The second one was, and what is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now, what's interesting to me about those questions is Jesus hadn't even left yet. They wasn't even convinced he was going to leave. Amen? And they're asking, when are you coming back and what's the sign of the end of the world? And then I read Matthew and 24 and 25, and Jesus never answers the first question. Never does tell them anything about that destruction of Jerusalem. Some have said there's other thoughts about it, and I think maybe if you kind of look, there is, but really he left a vague bit of information about that. But we know what happened. And what he told them in Acts chapter 1, they said, "Are you going to restore at this time the kingdom to Israel?" And the Lord said, "That's not your business. Your business is to be a witness." And then the Bible says that he ascended up to heaven and they're watching and he goes out of sight and the two angels robed in white come and say, "Why stand you gazing into the heavens?" I think sometimes we got a lot of gazers, not geezers, gazers. Okay, all right. We've got a lot of gazers that are not doing what God told us to do. The Lord is coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad one day he is coming back for us. And I want to read these verses beginning in verse number 10. And he's talking about verse 9. And I want to look at verse number down through a few verses here. And I want you to see a thought that even though Jesus hasn't returned, he's still coming. The promise is still here. And that therefore, because he is coming, there's a way we ought to be living while he's tarrying his coming. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Remember, that's what I mentioned this morning. There's coming a day when we will be delivered from the very presence of sin. And what a glorious day that's going to be. Come on now, that's going to be a glorious day to never have to worry about sin again. Hallelujah. My goodness, what a day that's going to be when we see the Lord and see that new heaven and that new earth and wherein dwelleth righteousness, and everything in there is holy and pure and right, and there'll never be anything that defileth in that city. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And then searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by us, unto you by them that... Let me start that over. I'm going to go back up to the first. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the coming of the Lord. He is coming. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to the every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, I'm interested in verse 13 to start, and because there is something to look forward to. Thank God we can look back at the day when we got saved. And thank God we can look at the present day that God is still with us. But our hope tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is on that day coming. On that day coming. Hold your hand there just a second and go over to Titus chapter number 2. Grace does three works in our lives. Grace does three works in our lives. In verse Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all. Grace brings salvation. Amen. Verse 12. Grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's our present state. We've been saved. We're living presently. But our hope is in verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, we don't have time to go into all of the Bible's verses of the coming of the Lord and our meeting him. But we are going to make reference to some, and hopefully tonight, that since we understand, maybe tonight, hopefully we understand, that the Lord is coming. And if he doesn't come, we're going to meet him either through the grave or through the air. We are going to meet the Lord. Jesus is coming. And he's coming for those who have been saved by his grace. Those that have humbled themselves and called upon him in their sinful lost condition and claimed him and his promise that whosoever believeth in him should be saved. And that's the ones he's coming for. The redeemed. The redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. We're going to look for our Redeemer. Oh, Job said way back yonder over in Job, he said, I know that one day my Redeemer is going to stand on the earth again. I know that's going to happen. And if he could say that ever how many years ago that was, you and I ought to be confident enough to stand in the pulpit and stand in our personal lives and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And thank God what a day that's going to be. When Jesus comes, amen. The trump of the Lord shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Say, oh boy, I'll tell you what, it's dark and black out here in the world. Yeah, but Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, the Apostle Peter was a part of that group back in Matthew 14 who was asking him about his coming. He was a part of that group. And it's amazing that out of all the people in the Bible, Peter talks about the end quite a bit. Now, if the end was close then, here in the Bible, how much more closer is it today? And fulfillment of Scripture and prophecies and such like that will usher in the coming of the Lord. I was reading some old preachers, they're old to me, and they believe what's happened over to America over and to the church, let me put it that way, over the last 50 years is preachers have quit preaching on the imminent return of the Lord. The fact that Christ could come at any moment. And so we've allowed people to live lives as though he wouldn't come in an hour when they're not looking for him. He's not going to come anyway. His tarrying is somehow put off so long that they can live how they want, and right before they die, they'll hurry up and get saved. Or right before they die, they'll hurry up and get right with God. Sadly, that is a false idea from the devil. Amen? And so we ought to, and Peter has mentioned it. He said, the Lord is coming. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And one day when he comes, he's coming back for his people, and we are going to stand before his judgment seat. Now, because he is coming, he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Three things that he tells us that we ought to be doing in this present world. Here's the title, Living the Future in the Present. Living as though Jesus was coming today, right now. Living like at any moment. Remember the parable? Blessed is that one who, when his Lord's come, he finds them waiting. Yeah, I want to be knowing that. I want to be one of them that's been waiting for the Lord. I don't want to be asleep in the world. Amen? And so we won't talk about that tonight. The meaning here, or the thought here, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, this is a different time than it is today. Thank the Lord. I'm glad we don't have to do no girding. Amen. Tighten your belt and get with it. But back here, they would wear robes. Thank God for Levi and all them others. Even if I don't wear them, thank God for them. And they would, in order to do any work or to run or to move very quickly, they would have to gird that robe up. And it would have just seemed a whole lot better to have taken it off or to not have ever worn it. I would not have been a good New Testament Christian at that time. I would have been praying for much deliverance from the robe wearing, amen, and sandal wearing. None are my fans, all right? And so they would gird up that robe and go about it. Now here's what that means in the Christian life. That means that the meaning is that they were to have their minds in a constant preparation for the work or the discharge of their responsibilities, their duties as Christians in this present world. I think it's Titus who tells us to maintain good works. What he said is, wherefore, gird up the loins, you be ready at all times to do what I've called you to do at the moment that you're needed to do it. The urgency is here. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready to work. I'm telling you what, there's a great work that needs to be done. Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. What are you doing today for the Lord? Have you girded up the loins of your mind? Have you got your mind in a state where you're thinking of heavenly thoughts and eternal thoughts and not those of this earth? See, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, be renewed in your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this in Philippians. He said, if there be any virtue, or and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then he gave us a list prior to that. We are bombarded by this world today that much of our thinking and much of our anticipation is of these earthly things and not the heavenly things. I'm just here to tell you, I asked my Sunday school some questions that I asked myself about evangelism, about witnessing and this, that, and the other. And I'm going to tell you, there is a world out here dying and going to a devil's hell, and they need somebody to witness to them. And many times Christians are so occupied with the world and the things of the world that they never take time to witness to those that God brings into their pathway. And so we need to have our minds gird about, having them ready, looking for opportunities. For the opportunities God brings to each of you and to me. The opportunities that God brings somebody into our lives to witness. We got a little letter today, this week, Thursday or Friday or Saturday, from a girl in Lawrence County, Illinois. I had to look it up. I didn't know where Lawrence County is. But if you go to St. Louis and then you go straight east, all the way to the Indiana border is Lawrence County. And somehow she has gotten our information and wrote us and asked us if we could send her some Bible studies or something along those lines. And so we got some stuff. So tomorrow I'll do that. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, there are people there. There are people here. And there are people there. And there's people there. And there's people all over that need somebody to be heavenly minded when they're around them. Because all they are is earthly minded. Yeah. And so he says, gird up the Lord. You know, it's too easy to be earthly minded. It's too easy to get caught up in the things that you're doing instead of keeping your attention on things above. Then he says, well take your Bibles real quick and go over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now, if you're not saved today, you need to be saved. Because when Jesus comes, you'll be the unwise who will be left behind, who will not be prepared. In Luke 12 and verse number 35. Luke 12 and verse number 35. Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. Be ready to shine. Go prepared. Just never know when an opportunity just might come along. Amen? That you just might be able to pull out a little bit of light and hand to somebody. Just never know whenever the opportunity might come for you to witness to somebody. Just never know when that might happen. Well, I'll tell you, it happened more often. I was telling my Sunday school class about Tom Wallace. And Tom Wallace, if you're friends with him on Facebook, you may not be, but he preached here several years ago. And Tom is just always posting pictures of people that he's won to the Lord. And many times, and I'm not critical of him by any means, I'm thanking God, amen. But you know what? The Holy Spirit convicts me because I'll say, I wonder why I ain't doing that. And he said, because you don't witness like he does. Then I don't say anything. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, if somebody's out here witnessing and winning people to the Lord, you know, a lot of times people get envious of that and jealous of that, but they don't want to do it. They just don't want them to do it so they don't look bad. And boy, I thank God for the people that Brother Tom has won to the Lord. Amen. You know why? Because he's got his loins girt about and he is letting his light shine. Right here. Talking to people about the Lord. You say, well, you know, I don't want to impose. Well, apparently, man, he wins waiters. He wins hotel keepers. He wins people walking down the road. He wins people at the gym. He wins people at the airport. Apparently, not everybody's too busy to listen. Jesus said here, listen, look at verse 35. Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come and forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to have been broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Jesus is coming, and we best be busy doing what he's called us to do, as individuals and as a church. I don't want to be as the pastor of the church. I don't want Jesus to come if I'm still here, and he comes and he says, well, you know, y'all was just doing nothing. No, I want to be doing something. Amen? Even if it's standing in place doing something, I want to be doing something. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes I get real fidgety, and I just have a hard time just standing still and just sitting. And if I sit too long anymore, I go to sleep. And if I sit, and I just got to be busy, busy, busy. I thought I got that from my dad. I've been watching my mom. That gal cannot stay still for nothing. I mean, she's moving covers up, she's moving covers down, she's doing this, she's doing that. I told her the other day, I said, good heaven, you are wearing me out. She says, what? And I said, you're moving all the time. I know where I get that at now. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I want to be doing something. Amen? I just don't want to be standing here doing idle. Well, ain't nothing for me to do. No, there's something for you to do. Well, nobody hired me. That's what them guys over at the 11th hour. What are you doing standing here idle? Well, nobody hired me. Man, I'd have volunteered. Amen? So he said, gird up the loins of your mind. Then he noticed what he said, be sober. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Now, that is a contrast to somebody who is sober would have the idea of being clear in your thinking. Somebody that is not under the influence of anything else. God says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That means be controlled, just as alcohol controls the drunk and makes him do things that in his natural state he would not do. So the Holy Ghost is to control us and lead us and guide us and cause us to do those things that God would have us to do. Sober-minded. Now, three times here, the Lord deals with the Apostle Peter under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, deals with this word sober. Look at it here in verse chapter 1 and verse 13. Gird up your loins of your mind, be sober. Be sober. Christ is coming, be sober in your thinking. Right now. Then notice in chapter 4 and verse number 7. Verse 7 of chapter 4 says, but the end of all things is at hand. I wonder where Peter got that from. I bet he got it from the Lord. Amen? Obviously the Holy Spirit, but what I'm saying is, Peter said, somebody might have been saying, when's the end? He said, oh, it's right here. Man, if the Lord said anything about the end, he said, it's coming, it's right here. Amen? And he said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. You better be alert, because this thing, listen, the end is coming, and you don't want to be caught off guard when it gets here. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. Sober concerning the coming of Christ, sober concerning the end of all things, and sober concerning the attacks of the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to tell you what, the devil's always looking. And God said, I want you to be sober thinking. I don't want you to get caught by the devil. I don't want you to get overcome by the devil. I don't want you to be so worldly minded that what's going on around you captures you. I want you to be clear thinking. Boy, I tell you what, it just irks me to no end at the way people can't think for themselves today. We have raised people that just cannot think for themselves. They have to, well, this is what I think. What do you think? Well, if you think that, that's what I think. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, God has given us ability to reason and to think and all such like things. And I believe God wants us to be sober in our thinking, realistic. Present day, what's going on? We ought not to be caught off guard by some of the things that's going on today. My goodness sakes. We know the Bible. I think somebody wrote in here, but this day ought not to come upon you and overtake you. There are signs of these things going on in the Bible. Just read the book, amen? What's taking place is a fulfillment of Scripture. And you know, you and I today, we ought to be sober-minded. We ought to be sober-minded that Jesus is coming. We are to be sober-minded at the end times. And we are to be sober-minded because the devil is on the loose. And if he can get you, you see, most people, what's the Bible? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So most people today are a victim of their own thinking. Yeah. They think too much about the wrong things. Sober in your thoughts. Sober in your outlook. Sober in your views. I mean, just clear thinking about what's going on. Then in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end. They were not to become faint and weary in their trials and troubles, or in their work. Hope to the end. Faithful to the end. Hold your hand there and go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 15. I like this verse. I've quoted it many times that I've been here in the many years that I've been here. Chapter 15 and verse number 58. I can quote it, but I want you to read it with me. You can probably quote it. Therefore, knowing the Lord's coming, knowing we're going to have a new body, amen, a changed body. Knowing we have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Sure will. Sure will. Hope to the end. Say, boy, I'll tell you what, preacher, I don't know. Man, it looks like the world's gaining. Maybe I ought to back up a little. No, don't back up. Go forward. Amen? Go forward. God never sounds retreat. You can't find it in the book where God said retreat. Amen? And I'm thankful tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is a hope that leads us to the end and a hope of the end. But thank God today there's a hope to stay in to the end. I remember Percy Ray telling about whenever he committed his life to God, and he said there was a little picture hanging on the wall of an Indian bowing down out there in the desert, old horse standing by him, Indian bowing down, looking towards the setting sun, and it said the end of the trail. And he said, I made a commitment right then to God. I was in that to the end of the trail. He said, I didn't know where the trail was going to end, but wherever it is ending, that's where I was going to be. You know, we need some Christians today that will just stick it out and stand out and just go to the end of the trail. Amen. Just going to hope to the end. Say, well, I'll tell you what, boy, doesn't look like the church is doing much. Hey, stay with it to the end. Stay with it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Say, man, we've all done this and ain't nothing happened. Man, stay with it. The rewards may not be here, but they'll be there. And some of them will be here. Well, I'm telling you what, we got too many wanting to give in, give up, and compromise, and concede, and give in territory. Man, we're the saints of God today. We ought to be standing for the truth, standing on the promises of God. Amen? And the Bible says, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end. Why? Grace. Look up there and 1 Peter chapter number 1 again. Look at verse number 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There it is. Now he says down here, the grace that should come unto you, that grace in Christ that brings salvation of the soul. Now all of a sudden we're going to see the grace of God that brings the salvation of the body. Well, I'm glad he's a complete Savior. Amen. Body, soul, and spirit. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you think about that for a minute. You know, all I can really think of is this body, because this is all I've ever had. And that's all I ever see. But you know, I read in the Bible where Jesus, the Bible says he was, come on now, get it out here, flesh and bone. It's interesting, isn't it? He's going to eat with them disciples. He said, give me some of that meat, whatever they cook. Maybe it's honey, I don't remember. Something there. Start in Genesis, and by the time you get to Revelation, you'll know what it is. Amen? And he said, give me some of that, and I'll eat it. Man, I'll tell you what, I get to think about it. And I think, what's that glorified body going to look like? You know, John said, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we know when we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it's going to be a glorified body. And that's all going to come by the grace of God. The Bible says here, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just as grace came by Christ in salvation of the soul, that grace will fashion us according to His glorious body at His appearing. And we'll be like Him. Yeah, God's grace. There's not a one of you in here that's saved by God's grace that won't go through a transformation. If you're still here, it'll be instantaneous. If you're in the grave, it'll be instantaneous. I mean, it's going to be wonderful. Amen? All these things that keep me from being everything God wants me to be all gone then. You know, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I'm to be conformed to the image of Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans 14, in the last verse, the Bible says, and put on therefore the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Bible says to be conformed to Christ. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says put off the old man and put on the new man. And you know I work hard at trying to put off the old man and put on the new man. And I'm telling you, about the time I think I got that thing worked out, that old man gets back in there. And I'm walking. The Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please him. And I'm telling you, it's a battle. But there's coming a day whenever the battle will be over. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? I'll never have a problem with a bad tooth. I had a filling fall out of my tooth about 2 weeks ago. I was eating. And next thing I know, I crunched on something that didn't crunch back. And I pulled it out, and it was like this little cylinder about this long that got stuck up in my tooth. I got a big hole up there in my tooth now. So I just eat everything hard on this side and soft on this side. Amen? Need to go get it fixed, but been too busy. The only time I ever remember it is whenever I'm eating, which is quite often. But you know, one day when I get to, I'll have perfect teeth. I sometimes have aches and pains, like some of you guys have and gals have. Amen? And you know what? There'll come a day whenever I won't have any of them. I won't have any of them. I kid about weight. Weight ain't going to be an issue up in heaven. Amen? It's really not. You skinny ones won't have anything us on us, and we won't have nothing on you. Amen? I mean, it just won't matter. I mean, my sight, I went to get that surgery, you know, to where you wouldn't have to wear these goof nut things. And I have the wrong kind of eyesight, and so now I can't do that. So I was hoping for cataracts. Couldn't get that. Don't have cataracts. So now I'm just stuck with glasses. Cataracts in the insurance company would have paid for it. But they want a lot of money to do that on their own, amen? More than this boy has. And so I was really praying for cataracts, but it didn't happen. So now I'm stuck with these. There's coming a day whenever my sight will be like it used to be. Maybe even better. I mean, this thing is just getting good. Going to get better. A brand new body. Fashioned like unto His. And it'll last for eternity. 10 billion years from now, you won't look at me and say, "You're getting to show your age, brother." Yes. No, you won't say that to me. I won't say it to you. I walk by, you say, "Looking mighty good. For a billion years old, amen, not too bad." My poor mom, 93, she is feeling 93. She is feeling it. She can walk backwards better than she can walk forwards. I said, "Mom, if you could have done this 20 years ago, you and Michael Jackson would have had her lined out, man." She didn't catch it, but man, she can go backwards just boom, 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 boom. She can't go forward at all. She said, "Oh." Then she gets up and aches and moans and groans. And man, she gets out of the bed and turns. But there's coming a day when that won't happen. It just won't happen. Man, she'll be just as good as I will be. As anybody else will be. There won't be any aches and pains. I thank God today, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, be hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation, the coming, the revealing of Christ." The glorious thing is this, it will just not be all these things that I've talked about, but we will see Jesus. Hallelujah. We will see that one who died at Calvary, who bore in His body our sins, who was treated all kinds of nasty and ugly by mankind, went down into the grave, rose on the third day. That's the one we're going to see. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you what, if you can quit serving God in light of that, then I don't think much of what you believe. Boy, there's times we get discouraged. There's times when we get down. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that ought to make us quit serving Him. I heard an old black preacher the other day preaching. I forgot who it was. It wasn't S.M. Lockridge. I forgot who it was. He said, "These Christians that quit serving God because of somebody else," he said, "that'd be like some old joker," he said, "treating his wife bad, or his wife treating him bad and him leaving her. And then me go home and leave my wife because he treated his wife bad." That's what that's like. God never treated you bad. I said, God never treated you bad. And don't you quit serving Him because somebody else treated you bad. He never did. He never did. One day we're going to see Him face to face. Man, what a time. You know what? I have tried to picture that in my mind. You know, the only pictures I got in my mind of Jesus, what I got out of that old family Bible. Y'all remember them old family Bibles? Now, that old long-haired looking Jesus that they have pictured there. In that Bible. That wasn't the Lord. Amen. I said that wasn't the Lord. Well, maybe some of you think that was Him. Say, "Oh, preacher, that's the only vision I've got of Him. I just like that." No, that wasn't Him. He said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Well, that still ain't going over good, so I'll just stay right there and preach a while. That wasn't Him. I think that's some French guy's version of Him. And we know about that crowd. No offense to you saved ones. But the rest of them we're kind of worried about. I'm just telling you, that wasn't Him. So that's the only picture I get in my mind, but I try to cut that hair off. Amen? Try to give Him a man's haircut. I don't know what that'd be like, but it's what I got in my brain. But you know, the best that I can, it'll not be anything compared to what it'll be when I see Him. When I see Him. Won't be nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. And because He's coming, we better get our minds right. Then He goes on in verse 14, and we'll go on that next week. He talks about, listen, you need to be separated from this world. We've got too many Christians acting more like the world than we got acting like Christians. We got them fashioning. Boy, ain't that a terrible word today, fashion. Fashioning themselves after the ways of this world instead of after Christ. And you ought to have a fashion that looks like Christ and not a fashion that identifies you with this world. Amen. So next week, Lord willing, now if the rapture comes, Brother Lee or Andrew can finish her up. And the rest of you that are here, just say amen. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Gird up the loins of your minds. Get your mind straight. Get out here and think about souls. Get out here and think about living holy. Get sober-minded about these end times. Determine the state of the end. And look for God's grace. The grace that saved you, the grace that's kept you, the grace that's made you what you are, and the grace that's going to transform you into His image. That's all God's grace. And thank God for it. Lord, tonight we thank You for the blessing of being saved and on our way to heaven. Lord, we pray tonight that You'll help us. Help us, Lord, with these areas of our lives. God, it's too easy to get concerned and controlled by the things of this world and to get our minds in all kinds of directions other than on heavenly things. So help us tonight. In Christ we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Rachel's going to play a hymn of invitation. Maybe tonight you as a Christian...